You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Many American pet owners are entangled in a wretched situation, leave their pet at home when they travel, or risk cleaning up the remains of the last meal upchucked on their auto's upholstery. A car sick pet is just no fun for the pet owner or for the pet. But why do they get travel sick, and what can be done to quell a queasy tummy? I'm speaking today with Dr. Amy Tratine. She is of Pfizer Animal Health. We're going to visit the topic of how to navigate the perils of pet travel, making it safe, sane, and spit up free. We're going to be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Petco, where the pets go. Petco, where the pets go.
Pet Life Radio has tail wagging, fur flying, fabulous deals for our listeners from Petco. Get $6 off your order of $60 or more, and up to 40% off the entire Petco site.
That's right.
But that's not all.
Because you're a Pet Life Radio listener, you'll also get free shipping on your order of $49 or more. $6 off, up to 40% off,
and free shipping
from Pet Life Radio and Petco. To get these awesome deals, go to PetcoDeals.com. That's PetcoDeals.com.
Petco, where the pets go.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. You'll be more productive and become well read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold Membership plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Tratine, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for asking me. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, it is fun, unless, of course, you have that pet that's kind of queasy in the back seat. I know that my clients love to travel with their pets, cats and dogs. But sometimes, just even coming to my office, they go, oh, what a disaster. The kid hits the back seat, preferably in their little harness or in their carrier, whatever. And all of a sudden, you just see them kind of smacking their lips and looking a little on the greenish side of a black lab can look green. What causes this kind of queasy tummy?
You know, that's a really good question. And we don't have the exact answer, but we think there's a couple of things that do contribute. One is that the vestibular apparatus, which is in the inner ear of our pets, sometimes there's an imbalance in that when they're in the car. And so it's actually sending really strange signals to their brain and to their vomiting center, telling them that things are not right and you shouldn't feel good and you're going to get sick now. And so it's something that we just need to sort of modify that signal that's coming in from the inner ear. The other thing that can happen is that, you know, very often when we're only taking our pets to the veterinarian or someplace that's not necessarily a great payoff for them in the way that they see it, that they may have some anxiety or some fear associated with getting in the car, that they're just not happy with where their destination is going to be. And so just that fear or anxiety alone may make them feel nauseous and sick and upset. So we think the signals could be coming in one of two ways or possibly both. If every time he gets in the car, he's getting these weird signals from the inner ear, he may start stressing out about the car, and then the upper higher brain centers start telling him to fear and have anxiety about it, and both things may be contributing. So it's important when you think about this to think about it from both aspects and what we can do to manage it completely.
I know it's one of the worst feelings. I would rather just be quote-unquote sick as a dog than ever vomit. I mean, ugh, I hate that. So I can appreciate looking at cats and dogs when they're feeling like, oh, my stomach's upset, that this is not a happy situation for them. And you're right. You know, when they come to the veterinarians, what fun things we do, stick thermometers in their bum, oftentimes give them their vaccines, or do other things. They're just away from mom and dad sometimes in the back in the treatment area, and that can be very disconcerting. What are some other common reasons for this upset tummy situation? So middle ear, when they're traveling and their paws aren't on solid ground, what else can do it?
Are we talking about vomiting in general or just motion sickness? Because obviously there's a lot of things. You know, dogs do get sick in their car, and it can be anxiety and it can be motion sickness. But we know that there are a lot of things that can cause our pets to not feel well. I mean, we've all seen our dogs scouting around the house, seeing if they can get in the garbage can, seeing if they can find something we've left unattended somewhere that we didn't intend for them to eat or drink. We know those kind of things can really upset their stomachs. Sometimes when they're out in the yard and we're not watching them and they're maybe eating plants or things that we wish they wouldn't get into, that can upset their stomach. And then there's an awful lot of diseases we see in our pets. Sometimes when their pancreas isn't good, or, you know, they've just got some GI upset or get a little viral infection, sometimes like we do, there's an awful lot of things that can end up making our cats and dogs feel queasy and feel sick. So, you know, you need to look at everything, but we certainly know there's a lot of reasons that they do.
I think one of the hardest things with just general acute sudden onset of vomiting, is this really something serious, or can I just watch the pet? Have you noticed that in the past?
You know, there's a lot of cues that we need to take from our pets. You know, we've all seen that dog that, again, we leave something like a sandwich out on a table and they go over there and they scarf that down, and maybe it doesn't sit quite right with them, so they may vomit, or vomit on the carpet, or vomit outside. But in general, they seem to be wagging and kind of happy and, you know, just have done something that they shouldn't have done. And oftentimes with that pet, we say, you know, just watch them overnight. Let's see if they continue to vomit. Let's see if they want to go back and have their own food and see how they're doing. And then we've all come into the, you know, come home from work one day and we walk in and our pet doesn't get up to greet us. We go in there and they're just kind of laying around, laying on their bed or maybe laying on our sofa and just not their happy self to see us. And then that's where you start worrying about something being a little more serious. You know, when they just generally don't look like they feel good and they're not acting normal for themselves. That's the time I really say, you know, let's reach out and let's call your veterinarian and let's just have a discussion about maybe things that have been going on. Have they been drinking more water, you know, not eating as well? Have they seemed lethargic? Have you noticed them in the backyard having any difficulty going to the bathroom? You know, let's just run through some questions and see if we think it's time to get that pet in and take a look at them and make sure that we're cutting something bad or potentially bad off at the pass and helping them feel better sooner.
One of the hardest things I know that clients have to do with a cat or a dog who has this upset tummy, you feel so badly because, oh, it just upchucked in it, you know, the stomach, the way it's contracting, and, you know, they're sticking their little head out and, bleh, you know, it's like, oh, honey, been there, done that. That doesn't feel good. It's like, oh, here, have a little water. Here, have some food. You know, put something in that stomach. And sometimes that's the worst thing, because it seems like it just exacerbates, just potentiates that vomiting cycle. So one of the hardest things I tell clients to do is take away all food and water for probably a good half hour. Just let that tummy settle on down, and then maybe offer some ice chips so they can just kind of wet their whistle. That stays down. Okay, here's a little bit more water. That stays down. Okay, maybe just feed the kid lightly. And you're right, Dr. Tretain, just maybe not even anything overnight. Just watch it. And if necessary, call your emergency clinic, call your veterinarian, get that kid in.
Right. And a lot of it, you know, it's just looking at them and taking our cues from them. You know, if they're not feeling well, if they're just kind of hanging out away from us and not interacting like they normally do, you know, then I get a little more worried. But again, if they're looking to get back and seeing if they want some water or food, you're absolutely right. They don't know what's best for them, and we don't just want to give them what they think they want, but doing it in moderation and slowly and making sure that they're able to hold down the next thing they take in so that we can kind of break this cycle and get them on their way.
I'd like to get back a little bit to motion sickness, and it seems as though it's a pretty common malady. How, with your research, how common is it?
You know, it's a lot more common than we as veterinarians think. You know, when we found out we were going to get this product that I support, Serenia, approved, we went out and we did a lot of market research, had a lot of conversations with pet owners, just trying to find out, you know, how commonly does this happen? And we've done now probably 5 or 6 different studies. And what we find is that about 20% of our pet population, our dogs in particular, do have the tendency to get sick in the car. So we're looking at approximately 1 in 5 pets. When we go out and have that same conversation with other veterinarians, they think it's probably more like about 3% of the population versus the 20% of the population that we hear from pet owners. And so there's a big discrepancy there. And I think what doesn't happen is a pet owner often thinks, well, this isn't something serious. You know, my dog just got a little upset stomach in the car. And they don't think to bring it up with their veterinarian. And because we don't have that conversation with our veterinarians, they think it isn't as common. And then they don't think to ask the pet owner. So there's a gap there. So what we really want to encourage pet owners to do is go, wow, you know, you want to take your pet in the car, or you just want to be comfortable in the car when they're coming to the veterinarian. Have that conversation. Let's find out what kind of things we may be able to do so that they can enjoy the car ride and maybe even have fun coming to the veterinarian's office. So there's a pretty big gap, and we need for pet owners to step up and have that conversation with their veterinarian.
I love the fact that you were talking previously about anxiety, and we'll have pets, owners will say they come around a particular street corner and all of a sudden the dog's been so happy, everything is fine, and then they stop. It's like, uh-oh, I know where we're going. We're going to the vet. And all of a sudden they start salivating and maybe whining, and we'll tell these clients, next time you think about it, just drive on in, pop them on the scale or do something, or just sit in the corner so they can see other dogs and cats. Then give them a treat. Maybe if they really like little pieces of cheese, bring in some cheese with you, and then we can have one of the receptionists or somebody give them that piece of cheese. The pet goes, oh, that wasn't that bad. And they walk out the door, so they had a happy visit. So that's, we find, one way to decrease that anxiety component. There's so many different tricks that people try to employ at home, you know, when they're in the car, to see if this will keep their pet from getting car sick. So I know sometimes I get a little queasy when I'm on a boat someplace. So if I look out at the horizon, it seems to help me. So if you have a dog that's in the car and it's not looking too good, does it help that dog to have its head out the window with his ears flapping in the wind?
You know, and we think they're having fun when they're doing that. But, you know, the best thing we can do for our pets is to make sure they're secure in the car and to get them used to having a good experience in the car. And so for dogs that get car sick really often, you know, one of the conversations we often have with our pet owners is going, you know, take them out, get them to sit in the car, give them a treat, spend a little time, let them go back in the house. You know, and you do that a time or two, and then you get them in the car and you go, let's back down the driveway and maybe go to the corner. Have a treat and come back. If they're still feeling upset or looking anxious, if they've got a crate that they feel comfortable in, particularly if it's a smaller pet, let's give them a comfortable place to be in the car where they feel secure and just kind of keep working their way up and taking at least that anxiety component out of it so that they're safe and secure in the car and they're having a good time and something bad's not happening every time they go, so that we can kind of take that fear and anxiety piece out of it and see then, are they still left with that, getting that weird signal from their inner ear telling them, you know, this isn't all right and maybe you shouldn't feel good, so that we know that that's the piece that we need to address and we've kind of managed the other part. So it's keeping them safe and secure, having small trips where they have a good experience, and just kind of working their confidence up to at least remove that one piece out of it to see with what we're left with.
I love that idea, Dr. Amy, of just very slowly getting them used to the car. Neighbors may think you're a bit crazy as you're sitting there. It's like, why are they sitting in the car, reading the paper, drinking coffee, and the dog just kind of bouncing around the car? It's like, oh, all right, maybe there's a reason to this. But, you know, sometimes just very slowly getting them used to it. I know one of the products that's out of the market, and I've honestly never used it for travel nausea or travel sickness, but those thunder shirts, those little compression jackets that dogs and cats can wear that just kind of like they're walking around with a constant hug, something like that. And it'd be interesting to see if that helps too.
Right, and we've heard stories where pet owners have tried that, and it really has helped. I think, you know, any of those kinds of, you know, safe and secure cues that we can give our pet, that you're going to get here and nothing bad's going to happen, it's going to be a good thing. I think there are a lot of different methods like that that you can employ, again, just to try to make them feel relaxed and then see where you are when they are in the car, where they're at. Because, again, you may be able to do all of that, and they still may be that pet that still doesn't feel good because they're getting, you know, different signals from their middle ear that says, yeah, I know you're calm and I know you may be going someplace happy, but it's still not all right. And then we know we've got something else to address.
And the other thing you mentioned about having them contained in some type of a crate or in a harness. I had a small little dog, Juanita, for a period of time, and she loved going in the car, but she couldn't see out the window, and it was really a problem for her. So they have these little booster seats. So that would be in the back seat, and she could be up high enough that she could look out the window. She wore a harness. The harness was attached to the shoulder portion of the seat belt. So she could sit up, kind of look around, lay back down again. She had a nice little comfy bed, and she'd have, you know, her little toys in there and such to keep her occupied, so I didn't have to turn on the video system for her. But she seemed to enjoy it, and people loved driving by, and all of a sudden this little head would pop up. It's like, oh, look at that. It was kind of fun.
No, and I think you bring up a great point, because for our smaller pets, I have dachshunds, and it's the same thing. You've obviously looked into the inside of my car, because I have three booster seats because I have three dachshunds, because I find that they travel so much better when they can see out the window and know what's going on too and not just be guessing. And then they're not trying to move around the car, and I can restrain them so that they're traveling safely. I don't have to worry that something's going to happen to them if I happen to slam on the brakes, and it makes it a much better experience for all of us.
And definitely slamming on the brakes, we know for ourselves, we have to have small children in the back, or you have a very light human in the front seat, passenger seat. Those airbags can cause a lot of problems. So people having their pets on their lap because, oh, it's just so cute and it likes being on my lap. I'd say 99% of the cars out there now have airbags. And if that goes off, that pet could be horribly injured or killed.
Well, and you bring up a great point. You know, we have the big organization that we're all a part of, the American Veterinary Medical Association, has actually put out guidelines recently on about how to travel safely with our pets, meaning that we keep them restrained, that we have a harness or a booster seat or a crate to make sure that we're not putting them in harm's way when we're out there on busy highways going, you know, 55 miles an hour or maybe more and risking having something happen. So it's enough that our profession felt strongly enough to take a stance and start educating pet owners as an outreach program.
Well, I'm talking right now to Dr. Amy Tretien of Pfizer Animal Health. And she's giving us some great information on how to keep your pet safe. But is there more that we can do? Well, I have the answer for you right after this short break. Stay tuned.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Introducing the new Brett Michaels Pets Rock Collection, exclusively at PetSmart. I created it for the pets that rock your world.
Shop the Brett Michaels Pets Rock Collection and celebrate PetSmart's 25th anniversary with up to 25% off thousands of items on the PetSmart site. Plus free shipping on orders of $49 or more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com. That's PetSmartDeal.com. PetSmartDeal.com.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PETMEDS. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PETMEDS, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
Your groomer is going to hate me. Hi, I'm Allie McLennan. Join me for my Pet Life radio show, Groom for Improvement. You're going to save time and money with these tips from my New York City grooming table. From product recommendations to do's and don'ts, I am going to hook you up. So just do me a favor and don't mention this to your groomer. Groom for Improvement on Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Amy, we've been talking about keeping pets safe as we're traveling, maybe the booster seat, getting desensitized, being in the car. So when they come to see someone terrible like me, you know, going to their veterinarian, it's not going to be such an angst-filled situation. But sometimes we need more. And clients try to say, well, I know when I get travel sick, I use a little bit of Benadryl or I use some of these over-the-counter medications. What's your feelings about using that in pets?
You know, I think the thing that concerns me the most is what we don't have is any real data. If you go and you look around, we'll find some advice on websites sometimes about using these, but what we don't know is what's the best dose, what's the dose that works, what's a dose that works and is safe, and more importantly, are they just going to be drowsy and not enjoying anything because they're taking this kind of medication anyway? So what we did at Pfizer Animal Health was we developed a product called Serenia. And for us to get that on the market, what we did were a lot of studies. And we did studies evaluating whether it worked, and we did studies evaluating whether it was safe, and had that reviewed by the Food and Drug Administration so that we could provide all that information to pet owners so they can make a decision about whether this was something that was right for their pet if they got sick in the car. And so we have been really happy to have Serenia available to help dogs travel better with their pets. And just by planning ahead and giving them a pill about 2 hours before they get in the car, you know, what we find is that about 93% of these pets do really great. They don't vomit. They enjoy the car trip. When we go back and we talk to pet owners after they've used it, the vast majority of them are pleased. They want to travel with their pet more often. You know, they're recommending it to friends and families for their pets. So we've made an important advancement in providing, you know, the real data that says, wow, this works, and yeah, it's safe, and they're not going to arrive at their destination and feel drowsy because they maybe had some Dramamine or Benadryl. And we're using something that's appropriate for our pets because it's been studied and it's known to help them.
And sometimes people try to do the best and they go, okay, well, I have a big dog, so I'm going to give it lots more. Or I have a little dog, and I'm going to just give it a teeny bit of Benadryl. But dogs are not little people, and so many times people will overdose or underdose or inappropriately dose is maybe the best way to state it. And if you ever, I'll always tell clients, if you ever want to give something, I may not totally agree with it, but I can at least direct you as to what to do. So call your veterinarian, ask whether or not this is an appropriate medication, how much is appropriate, because most veterinarians will answer these questions over the phone. Sure, we want to see the pet if we think that it's something serious, but most veterinarians will go ahead and give you some direction over the phone, if possible.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. It's just having that relationship with your veterinarian and having those conversations. You know, it's really important if something's bothering you, even if you don't think it's serious, pick up the phone, have that relationship, let them give you the best advice, because you're right. If you look at many different kinds of medications that animals take and people take, doses are really different, side effects are really different, and we really need to understand what we're giving to them and know that we're doing the best thing we can, and that's the perfect conversation to have with your vet.
With this conversation that you and I are having, Dr. Trittine, Serenia, how does it work? Does it just kind of settle the tummy? I've listened to your presentations of this chemical pathway. If you could kind of break it down for our listeners, how does Serenia stop that feeling of the queasy tummy?
That's a great question. Thank you for asking. You know, we know that dogs vomit. We've talked about this earlier in this conversation. Dogs vomit for a lot of reasons. They vomit sometimes because they're fearful or they're anxious, and that's coming kind of from their brain, from their thinking parts going, wow, I don't want to do this. We know the dogs sometimes are in the car and they get this inner ear imbalance and they're feeling signals that make them think they want to vomit, and that's traveling from the inner ear to a portion of the brain that we call the emetic center or the vomiting center. All that fear and anxiety, those are sending signals there. And then for dogs that have other kinds of things, like they've eaten the garbage or they've eaten a plant or something they shouldn't have, or they've gotten parvo or pancreatitis or one of those other diseases, those are all sending signals from different parts of their body, and all of those signals go into this emetic center or vomiting center. And the wonderful thing about Serenia is that's where it works. It works in the emetic center or the vomiting center where all of these different signals converge. And so what it does is it stops that feeling that you need to vomit and all of the feelings and things that are associated with that. And it doesn't really matter where the signal's coming from. It's going to work because it's in that place where all those signals stop, so that what we get is a really great consistent effect of a dog not having to feel sick, not feeling upset stomach, and that they know that they're not going to have to vomit anymore. So it's been a really exciting breakthrough for us.
That's marvelous that it works on so many different causes. Now, I also know that Serenia now has been approved for use in young dogs as well as cats. If you could just briefly talk about that a bit.
That's an exciting new development. We just found that out and launched it in May. We now have approval for our feline or our kitty patients, and that's to help them with all sorts of reasons for vomiting. You know, again, same sort of things like their kidneys or their GI tract or something's wrong, so it's stopping vomiting from those causes. When we first put the product out on the market, we didn't have safety studies in younger dogs, so it was recommended for use in puppies that were 16 weeks of age and older. We know that our younger puppies get illnesses too, or, you know, need to use it. So what we did is we went back to the drawing board and did a little more work, and we were able to lower that age to 8 weeks of age so that it allows it to be available for a lot wider population of pets. And it's something we're really proud and excited about.
That's wonderful. I just know that so many of these little animals, you know, you have that new puppy that comes in that maybe it ate something it wasn't supposed to, or it has GI parasites, and you want something that'll safely calm their tummies. And now I know I have something I can reach for and use.
It's one of those things, we want to make our pets feel better. You know, we want to go in there and figure out what's wrong and we want to fix it. Well, while we're fixing it, we also don't want them to keep vomiting, to keep losing fluids. We want to stop all of that while we figure out what the underlying cause is and get that under control. So it's just a great thing to have to add in while you're figuring out what's going on so that they can feel better and not get any more sick.
And one of the hardest parts in the past with giving anti-nausea medication is, all right, I already have an upset tummy. I'm now supposed to take a pill. And how is it supposed to stay down? But Serenia actually seems to stay down. And thankfully, not like with people where Phenergan is, you know, the product that you need to stick up your bum. Thankfully, we don't need to do that when you send home a product like that with your pets.
Well, and the beautiful thing, too, is that we also have that injectable formulation. So when they're really sick and you don't want to give them something orally, they can get a shot in their veterinarian's office and kind of get that healing process started, get them feeling better so that you can start giving them tablets and help keep all this calmed down, too. So the beautiful thing is it's available two different ways.
So we can kickstart it and then continue on at home. Well, speaking of continuing on at home or going on that vacation, I'd love to chat right now a little bit about just general travel tips. So you have three Dachshunds, so you travel with them a lot. Dachshunds are a breed that have those nice little long noses, but then there are those other breeds, those short pug-nosed dogs, the little Boston Terriers with short little faces. Those kids really seem to have a lot more issues with traveling sometimes just because they have that respiratory compromise. Have you seen other pets that maybe shouldn't travel as much, or we should need to think about a little bit more before we pop them in a car?
No, I think it's really what you're talking about. And I think, you know, I think really so many of us now have mixed breed pets. You know, we don't necessarily know all those things. So I think it's just really understanding your pet. You're right, those little smush-faced dogs, we know that they're prone to sort of have bronchitis and breathing problems, and we want to think about that ahead of getting in the car. You know, making sure that we've got the air on and that we've got everything sort of prepped and ready. With the little dogs, you want to make sure that they're restrained, maybe where they can see. If it's a bigger dog, make sure they're restrained or in a crate so that they're safe and comfortable. But I think it's as much about knowing your pet as knowing the specific breed.
And you're talking about leaving air conditioning on. I'm here in Southern California. We're having a heat wave. And people sometimes will say, well, I'm just going to go in for that. And we hear it too often for cats, dogs, and children. I'm just going to go in for a quick gallon of milk, and by the time they come out, that car, which they thought was in the shade, or they had the window crack, is extremely hot. And pets and children have perished because it's way too warm. I usually say, even if you have an area that seems cool, best thing to do is leave your pet at home, especially during those hot times of the day, or if you really don't need to travel with your pet.
Oh, I completely agree. I love taking my little guys with me and just running errands, but it's the same thing. I absolutely don't want to put them in harm's way, and those cars heat up so fast. If you just even sit in it if you go out and run an errand with somebody else and they run in the store and you're sitting there, you just think about how quickly you get uncomfortable, and how if you're even a little dog or a smush-faced dog that maybe breathing isn't as easy, how quickly that can really turn into a bad situation. We just don't want to put our pets in harm's way like that.
And we're talking about cars, but the same thing holds true if you're going to be traveling by plane or train or however you're going to get there, the conveyance. Because we know, you and I, how many times have we traveled when all of a sudden you're stuck on the tarmac and they turn off the air conditioner? Well, maybe, you know, well, we know that the cargo compartment, if you're going to be traveling with a larger dog or multiple pets, is going to be temperature controlled when it's moving. But on that tarmac, temperatures start to go up, and that's a real problem. So I'll advise my clients, if they're going to be traveling with their pets, especially during the summer, see what the temperature is going to be wherever they're going to, the temperature they expect it to be when you're leaving your particular point of origin, and see if you can also get it to be a nonstop flight, because things can happen. And also, this is time to be one of those clients. If it's going to be checked luggage, so to speak, it's going to go in cargo, make sure they give you some type of form that says, yes, your pet is on your plane.
And you bring up a great point. It really is any type of travel you're doing with your pet, by plane, by car, by any method. It's just pre-planning and thinking ahead. You know, we frequently tell people, try to take a nighttime flight or take that first thing in the morning flight before it gets to be the really hot part of the day. You're right. Look for direct flights, not where you're going to have a stopover. You know, make sure that you can kind of stay with your pet until the last minute, till they have to get in there and you can get to the gate. And it's all about talking to the airline ahead of time and just pre-planning. You know, making sure they've got water, they've got food, they've got a comfortable blanket so that they feel sort of cozy and not neglected if they've got a bed or a blanket that they like.
Favorite toy.
And make sure that they're feeling comfortable in there. You know, talk to your veterinarian. Make sure that if you're going someplace, have you got all the dog's medications? Do you have it with you? Do they have identification that if something did happen, that somebody could find that pet and call you? And if they've got a pet tag on that's got your home phone number and you're not at home, put a piece of tape over that tag and write your cell phone number on there so that if in some bad situation something happened, they could contact you and let you know. And make sure that, you know, if they're going to be around where other pets are, if they're going to be on a plane with other pets, have they had all the vaccinations that they need? Are they safe to be around other dogs? When we're traveling in our car and we stop at these rest areas where a lot of other animals are they on good parasite protection? Have they had all their vaccines? thinking about all of that ahead of time can make it a great adventure for both you and your pet, but it's all about the planning.
You want to even have pictures of your pet because, oops, something happens, it gets away from you. Oh, well, okay, Dr. Amy, you have a doxy. What does it look like? A doxy. So if you have a...
It's a long red dog, just like all the rest of them.
But if you have a picture, it's like, I know what that pet looks like. Okay. So it makes it much more personal. And I also recommend if you're going to be traveling with your pet, for instance, and it's going to be put into cargo of a plane, that, and it really looks tacky, and I got this from my mother. When she used to travel, I'd look at her luggage going, oh, Mom, this is really embarrassing because she had all this tchotchke on her luggage and little fuzzy things, etc. It's like, Mom, why do you do that? She says, I can find the luggage going, oh, that makes sense. So if you have your pet in a carrier, you can put colorful duct tape on the outside and a little 3x5 card. Hi, my name is Fritz, and I'm going to be going to Florida with my mommy, and you know, please be careful with me because I'm kind of nervous. And it just makes it much more personal. And instead of just moving another dumb dog or another dumb cat, oh, it has personality. That's Fritz.
That's right. And if, you know, and we all know how many times does our luggage go to a different belt than we're at, or if it goes to a different gate or something gets changed, it's that they can pick up that phone and say, we're looking for a dog carrier that's got a big pink piece of tape on the top, and it helps them identify it and find them fast, because what you want to do is get that pet owner and that pet back together as quickly as possible.
And planning ahead, as you're talking about, see your veterinarian for a good wellness exam. See if there are diseases that are more prevalent where you're going to be traveling to. Maybe it's tick, maybe it's heartworm. You're living in an area, go, I don't need heartworm preventative, but I'm going to New Jersey, or I'm going to Florida or Georgia, and there's heartworm there. Oh, I really do need to do that. So planning ahead, you may even need something like Serenia. Dr. Amy, if people wanted to learn more about Serenia, where can they go to learn more?
Well, there's a couple of really good places. One is there's www.serenia.com that's got a lot of information about the product for motion sickness and for other causes, as well as some travel tips and just interesting information about your pet and Serenia that you can go to. And talk to your veterinarian. You know, we know that all veterinarians know about Serenia and can have a conversation. Is it something that's right for your pet? Is it something you should be thinking about doing for any variety of reasons? So go to the website, go to your veterinarian, and you can find out exactly what you need to know about the product.
Well, planes, trains, automobile, however you're going to be traveling with your pet, plan ahead, talk to your veterinarian, know what concerns you should be concerned about before you hit the road, and traveling with your pet can definitely be an enjoyable discovery, fun experience. Dr. Amy of Pfizer Animal Health, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. This was a great conversation. It's something I love talking about, and I had a really great time. Thank you so much.
Great. Well, thank you very much for listening. And if you want to travel and listen to the Pet Doctor or any of Pet Life Radio in your car, go to our website. You'll see a banner ad across the top that talks about ways you can actually stream it into your car, onto your phone. You can use TuneIn app or even Stitcher. So various ways you can listen to make sure that you're the best informed, best pet owner you can be. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.